It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And it is time on a Monday to check in with Michael Phillips as it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
First of all, Michael Phillips, where were you yesterday? Because there was an empty seat next to me in the press box.
I was enjoying the game on color television, sitting at home watching football.
Not a bad way to do it, especially with Ian and Charles on the call. I watched the condensed game back this morning, which means I didn't get enough Charles, but they had a good call. They were on top of things. They're smart guys.
Ian's a top five play-by-play football guy for sure, and that's a good cruise. We're at the point now where it used to be like to get a good crew is a treat. Now you just kind of expect it because they're big national names. Like people want to watch Jaden Daniels play. It's also nice because you have the bigger crew, you get better replay angles. We were decidedly lacking in one replay angle that would have been very helpful yesterday, but otherwise it was good.
Yeah. Let's tackle that real quick, Michael. Not so much the call. Well, one, like, what did you think of the call itself? Two, is there any good reason why there is not a high-definition 8K camera that just travels with, I don't want to say with the sticks, but, like, above the sticks so that there is always a downline angle that seemingly is never available at the biggest moments of the game in an incredibly predictable spot, the first down marker? Like, what? It's a multi-billion operation, a multi-billion-dollar operation. What are we doing?
You're trying to solve it within the bounds of, like, the system that exists. Put a chip in the ball. Like, how difficult is it?
Sure.
We got GPS chips. Like, just put a chip in the ball, and it'll tell us where the ball is. It'll tell you. I don't know. That one seemed pretty easy for a while. But then in the preseason, remember, they did that thing where they were, like, going to do it electronically, and it was a mess. And I'm unclear how we can't get this technology working. But, put a camera on the sticks. Put a chip in the ball. It seems like both of us have solved the problem pretty easily without significantly denting the bottom line. Maybe sell some extra nachos or something, and we're good.
Yeah, I mean, now we need a poll question. Poll question for NFL fans. Would you pay collectively an extra 10 cents per nacho order if it funded extra cameras that got first downs right? Or chips in the balls?
I dare to suggest they may be able to find the money in the current budget as well.
Michael, we can fix the nachos this way. Sorry, I just stepped on your Jerry Jones curtain joke. Damn it, that was good. That was good. Son of a gun. I was gonna say we can just we can say like 10% less jalapenos, and the money we save on the jalapenos on the nachos. Your curtain joke was better. We should talk about football now. All right.
It was a bad call. But it was a predictably bad call, right? I just think 99 times out of 100, they're going to come out from under the hood and say the call stands in that moment. What bothered me was not that the call stood, because we've seen that a million times. What bothered me was how bad the initial spot was. If he had spotted it just right there, it was really close. We all saw it was really close in real time, but the initial spot was a full yard away. I thought that was a pretty bad miss out of the gate.
Yeah, that was horrendous. And there's no way they shouldn't have at least respotted the ball. But there's also a bunch of other stuff that happened. And my point on the officiating, just to wrap this up for those that are just tuning in, was not that that call cost them the game. It obviously, by definition, cost them a chance to continue their pursuit. But there is no way of knowing whether TJ Watt would have gotten a strip sack on the very next play had they gotten a first down. I do know that they missed a TJ Watt getting held in the end zone that should have been a safety.
Yeah.
They also missed, Dante Jackson getting held on a field goal. So there were bad calls both ways. That's not an excuse other than to say the officiating was bad and they should stop having bad officiating in a multi-billion dollar enterprise. Okay.
Yeah,
it's
predictable, but there's a lot of football to get to here too.
Yes.
Yeah.
As for the guys in not striped uniforms, Jaden yesterday, I think you could say he looked the most like a rookie that he has so far, or you could say he looked like a quarterback that was playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. How much of this do you think is maybe someone finally figured something out with him versus, oh no, that was the Steelers and they are different?
the Steelers are so good, right? They can do things other teams can't do. And you saw them triple-teaming T.J. Watt at times, bringing the running back over to bring a little extra chip on him. I mean, that's incredible, right? Like, that is respect right there for a football player. And they're still making plays. Everybody else is still out in space making things happen. The Steelers are so good. I think what's interesting to me is going to be to watch Steelers-Ravens this week. And I know Tomlin did the whole, like, oh, that's Mr. Jackson bit. But it will be instructive to see how successful this group is against Lamar Jackson. And Lamar's played so many times against them, right? You know, can he crack this code? Because they've been good for a while, but I said it on your show last week. I think this is the best defense in football. And if you tell me Jayden Daniels did what he did against the best defense in football, I'd say, okay, I do think I'd take that. I think the future is bright there. And for his first crack at that, I think there were moments and I think there were signs that, you know, that this isn't indicative of how the next 7 weeks are going to go, right? Sometimes you have, oh, this team stopped this guy. The tape is out. The formula is out. Everybody knows how to do it now. Not everybody has those pieces. Not everybody can do what the Steelers did.
Right. Yeah, the plan is to have Jayden miss a throw that he's hit all year on a high cross to Luke McCaffrey out of his own end zone. Just make sure he misses the throw with minimal-ish. Or maybe if you have T.J. Watt, it can be good pressure. If you don't have T.J. Watt, you're probably not getting that pressure there. So that's the plan everybody else is going to replicate. Go get after it.
And it's not that they haven't dropped passes this season, Craig, because they have. But they sure dropped passes in some really bad spots yesterday.
Yeah, Ertz had one that hit him like in the chest. There's the one that OZ probably normally catches across the middle. That throw was a little bit wide. Jayden was definitely his most inaccurate yesterday and the most sped up yesterday. But I think the thing that was the most interesting about what Pittsburgh was able to do to him, and again, Daniels played pretty well. Like, I will say he probably graded out worse because of some of the inaccuracies. But like decision-making-wise, I thought he was pretty solid still. He just didn't execute as high of a level. The thing that was stunning to me, Michael, was how they were able to corral him as a runner. They had a very distinct plan in the zone read game, which is if you're unblocked, go get Daniels. And if he doesn't have the ball anymore, don't pick up a dumb penalty. But you run right at him, and then we'll trust our run defense on the front side if he hands it off on his own read. So that was good. But also the fact that he didn't scramble at all yesterday. What did you make of that? And I'm curious if Ian and Charles talked about that at all on the broadcast as it went, as you were watching and were having your own thoughts on it.
Yeah, not extensively, just to point out the numbers that these were season and career and all those lows for Jayden Daniels. I don't know that it was injury related. I think it was far more a super disciplined Pittsburgh Steelers defense, right? I don't think it had anything to do with the ribs, although obviously he's still wearing the warming pack. Like, there's still something there. But I don't think he was like under a directive not to run. They did call the designed run for him. That just didn't do anything. I think, especially with Brian Robinson out, I think it made it easier to make that the game plan, right? Five's not going to beat us with his legs. And we'll see, where the chips fall from there. And Austin Ekeler had a very productive day, but it just wasn't the same as having that threat of B-Rob there where, he can move that pile Derrick Henry style and really open things up for the quarterback. On the other side, we talked so much about Russell Wilson last week. I feel it's right to tie it up with a bow. He doesn't even look to run anymore. Like, not that he was ever a mobile quarterback, right? He kind of got lumped in with those guys because he was in that draft class. But he doesn't even think about running anymore. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, he'll extend plays, and like, he used to run a little bit more, and he's just a smart runner. He's got the baseball background, so he slides really pretty, and it's like, look at Russell being all savvy. But like, he runs like Kirk Cousins, or like used to run, and neither of them obviously are running a whole lot anymore. But like, Kirk could move the chains. He ran a 4.8 at the combine. Russ is a little faster than that, but not much. As for the stuff that Russell Wilson does do, that Joker throws moon balls just the way that he is able to drop some of those in the bucket yesterday. Are those things where you're, I guess for lack of a better word, upset with the Commanders defense, whether it's call or execution, or do you just tip your hat to Russell and go, you and George Pickens are insane. Good job. You beat us.
What a catch that was in the first quarter, right?
Oh my God. That is... I kept frame by framing that one, Michael, on the All-22. And frankly, yeah. I rewound it like 3 times on the TV copy and was just like, what in the... At first, I was so mad at Igbinoghene for losing the football. And I was just like, dude, like, come on. I was like, he's playing where his hands are about to be. And Pickens just like turns his body from, I think, his right shoulder to left shoulder. Good job, Noah. Unfortunately, the ball was not where George Pickens telegraphed it to be, and human beings aren't supposed to be able to do that, unless they're in the circus.
That's why he's well compensated, to borrow Mike Tomlin's phrase. Yeah, he's just silly good. Yeah, I mean, coming into the game, I thought 21 was the number. If they held him to 21 points, I thought this offense could make enough plays to win, and I'm prepared to make the argument they did, and then they spotted him an extra 7, and that was maybe the difference.
Yeah. As far as the St. Juice play at the end, what do you like? I don't like the call there. I don't love leaving him in man-to-man situations in a big spot because we've seen that movie before. But what do you make of it? Whether him or the call?
Help's coming. So that's the good news here, right? Like help is coming. I don't like leaving him alone there against a receiver who you know is dangerous and a quarterback who you know is very dangerous accuracy-wise. I don't know, you know, how you want to make up for that, which guy you want to allocate back there, because you had a lot of things you need to cover for up front as well. That's part of what makes the Steelers a legitimate Super Bowl contender. That's kind of what I say to comfort myself, right? 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago, we were talking about how this is a team that's building towards the future. Well, the future is here now, which is very exciting, but they're also still building towards the future, and St. Juice isn't a CB1 in the National Football League, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks he won't have to be. He'll be able to be a CB2. We'll see. I don't know how immediately that's coming, but I know there's the chance that's coming. And I definitely know that this offseason they're going to go get guys and bolster this roster. And, you know, that's what helps me sleep at night, Craig. You know, that and drinking heavily after the losses, right? That's what we do to keep ourselves afloat here. You say, all right, they're in a good spot, and I think they're going to be in an even better spot next year. And all of this is bonus. And they held their own against a team that I think has a very legitimate shot to be in this year's Super Bowl if the Chiefs don't, you know, go undefeated and do that thing.
What deal did the Chiefs make with the devil?
It's insane. 9-0 and could be a very legit 5-4. Like 5-4 is probably the normal record for a team in those scenarios.
Yeah, probably. I mean, which also, by the way, you know what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks, right?
The Bills this week, so they'll find a way against the Bills, obviously.
No, that's not what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. The Bills are going to beat the Chiefs, and then
I think the Panthers are going to get them.
I mean, wacky.
That's the most NFL outcome.
It has been a year of wacky bits. No,
they do the miracle finish in Buffalo, walk it off, a kick drifts wide left, something, everybody loses their minds, 10-0. Then the Panthers just smoke them by like 20.
See, the way the schedule, I was really hoping that the Bills, I'm now looking at this, but the Bills were going to face the Patriots after the Chiefs. They don't. They face the Niners on Sunday Night Football, which makes this, but imagine for a second that they face the Chiefs, they beat the Chiefs, they end the streak, and then they lose to the Patriots. That's what the NFL, that would be the NFL thing. But I guess you're giving me the alternate version of that with the Chiefs side of it.
Yeah, just take it from the other side, right? Have them lose to the Panthers to end the streak. What I know is, like, there's the ones where it's like, okay, Mahomes made some magic, and then there's the fluky ones where it's like a short field goal got blocked. It's like short field goals never get blocked. That's just insane.
Right, until your left guard gets absolutely bamboozled and by George Karloftis and he lays out. By the way, the Bills schedule, not to turn this into a Bills bit, Chiefs, Niners, Rams, Lions.
The Steelers have a little bit of that too. Steelers have a brutal coming in stretch as well. I think they've got Eagles, Chiefs at one point back-to-back. Whoever makes it out of the AFC will have earned it for sure, and whoever makes it out of the NFC will be the Detroit Lions.
As for two teams trying to stop them, to bring things back to the Washington side of this, Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, 10 a.m. to noon on 910 The Fan in Richmond with us for his Monday spot here on the Hoffman Show. How do you look at this game? How do you size it up? How do you handicap this game on Thursday with Philadelphia? What do you feel good about for Washington, and what scares you for Washington?
It's fun. I love it, right? Playing for a division lead this deep in the season in a place where they've had success in recent years, right? Very few places where these guys have a track record of success in recent years, but this is one of them. They've held their own, including that big Monday Night Football win, certainly going all the way back, right? The Alex Smith win to make the playoffs there. They've had some success in Philly, and it's going to be a great game because you've got two really, really good football teams that Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels. You've got a great quarterback matchup. If Brian Robinson comes back, if you get some Lattimore, obviously you've got a team that's looking up. And, one of these teams is going to host a playoff game, and this game will go a really long way towards determining which team that is. And so at the beginning of the year, I said I love that this game is on Thursday night, Craig, because I believe that in Thursday night football, you'd rather be the underdog than the favorite. It's a short week, wacky things happen, right? It's the change factor as the underdog. I don't know that either team's definitively the underdog here. I think they're both good teams. This would not be out of place on a Sunday night football or a Monday night football, but we get it on Thursday instead, and I think it's going to be a treat of a football game.
No, I hope so. And, Al Michaels has had to sit through a lot of bad football the last couple of years since he took this Thursday night thing. He's like, all right, Amazon Prime, let's go. NBC didn't want me anymore. Our schedule is what? This crap versus that crap? And the last 2 weeks, he has gotten Bengals-Ravens, which is one of the games of the decade. Forget Thursday nighters. Games of the decade. And then he gets this one, which hopefully is equally as entertaining, and hopefully for our purposes, the Burgundy and Gold team winds up on top.
I'm going to need him to show some excitement, though. We've been lacking in the big calls this year. I'm going to need him to rise to the occasion.
I watched the second half of the Bengals-Ravens game back on the condensed game, and the way they cut that, like after one of the big plays, Al is just whining about the officials, which, considering how we started this conversation, to criticize him for that would be hypocritical. But we're talk show hosts, and he's doing the play-by-play, and I'm sure Roger's just like, Al, come on, man. But he's also correct. He's also correct, which brings us full circle, Michael. Referees, please be better. Roger, please give them the tools to be better. Too much money involved here in all of the ways. That could have been an Al Michaels underhanded gambling reference, Michael. It may have been.
There's a lot of people in the desert that are going to be very interested in that comment, Craig.
Well done. Well done. See you perhaps this weekend. My wife's going to run by your house this weekend.
And that's exciting. She's doing the Richmond Marathon, yeah, which is a great event. I will be up in Philly Thursday night. I'll wave at you as I drive by, and we'll be out cheering on everybody. I know a lot of folks here, and as always, you could not pay me enough to get out there and do it myself.
No, I would just be running the half, which you've told me does not go by your house. We'll have to figure out where, like, obviously off the air. We're not going to give out your address on the air, Michael, because that would be irresponsible. But we'll have to figure out where your house is on the route. And who knows, maybe I'll come to your house and then cheer my wife on from there. And then be like, Michael, I'm very hungry. I just ran 13 miles. Can I have a snack?
The beverages are cold. The takeout's good. We're happy to host the Hoffman's anytime.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, we'll be in touch. Hopefully I'll see you this weekend. And thanks as always for your time on the show. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Looking forward to it.
All right, it's Michael Phillips, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show. That would be kind of funny, Anthony, if I just, after I finished my race, I went to Michael's house, assuming that it's on the back half of the route somewhere. Because if it's on the front half, Rachel will have already run past his house.
Yeah.
That wouldn't help us very much.
Nope.
But also, I got to call our hotel down there and be like, hey, I know everyone else is probably asking this too that's staying here this weekend, but can we get a late checkout? Because like, I'll be all right. The race starts at 7 o'clock. My goal is an hour 50. So 7:15, I think, is when I start. So by a little after, or like by like 9:30,
yeah,
barring whatever late starts, whatever this, like I should be done. Hopefully around 9 o'clock I'm done. Right? I do that math right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good math.
Yeah. So I'll have time to go back to the hotel, because we're fairly close to the start-finish line, and shower and whatever. Rachel's got to run the second half of the marathon. By the way, if anyone ever asks you which half of the half, everyone should, so we're running a half marathon. Which half? The answer is the first half. The answer is the first half because miles 1 through 13 are very different than miles 13 through 26. Mm. She's got to run 13 through 26. And by the time she gets done, somewhere around 4 hours, we're hoping, the checkout might have passed.
Yep.
So I would like her to be able to take a second. So we got to figure out the details.
I forgot I'll be in Richmond this weekend too.
Wait, are you really?
Yeah.
When?
I have a wedding to go to on Saturday.
We should talk. Maybe you can cheer us on. You can get out there on the course, depending on where you are.
Well, I don't get down there until Saturday.
The race is on Saturday.
I know, but you
don't get Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, because you run at 7.
So does she.
Yeah, you both. Oh, I can catch you guys. Well, you'll probably be done by the time I
get. We're going to take a commercial break and figure out our private plans off the radio, and then we're going to come back and go around the NFL. The Pick 6 at 6 is coming up at, 6 right now, though, 5:30 on a Monday here on The Hoffman Show. Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Also, of course, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. We go around the NFL where we hit every single game, biggest news, notes, and there's plenty of storylines to follow as well. This week, we also review our picks. Anthony, where are we going into the week on that front?
So going into the week, Mr. Craig Hoffman, you had a 4-game lead over your boy. You were 91-43. I was 87-47, and I fear your lead may have increased. I don't think I had a good week.
Well, I can tell you on the First Impression Selection show, the YouTube show that I do on Monday where we pick games against the spread, I had another 9-3 week.
It's getting ridiculous.
My record this year against the spread since Tony and I started doing that, which we do like 11 a.m.-ish on Mondays on my YouTube page at Craig Hoffman, it's dumb. Like if I had just... I wish I could do that. I wish there was a way to do the math because you'd have to go back and not just see like the record and then... I mean, we could do a simple version where everything's just like plus 110 and you get the... or plus whatever and I could double my money. But, you know, some of those games are plus 140, plus this, plus that, whatever, you know, depending on if you took the underdog, the favorite, what the spread plus the line or the odds plus the line, whatever. Point is, I wonder if I had just bet $5 on every single game from week 6 to week 10 that we've done this so far, how much money I would have made.
It's about to say, man, it's time to make some money, man.
The problem is, we talked about this morning. I have two options. I can keep not betting and getting them right. Or I can start betting and start losing money because we know that's how that's going to go.
Or people just need to listen to the show, take your advice, and win money.
No, we don't endorse that because I'm not going to be responsible when people lose money.
Right.
People are terrible about gambling. Like they're yelling at players because their parlay didn't hit. Shut up. You bet. If you're adult enough to bet, you're adult enough to take the losses. And if you're not, you shouldn't bet. And that's a real talk with Craig. But also, I've been pretty good at picking games this year. All right, so with that said, I should have gotten the Washington game right too, by the way. God, they kick a field goal. What I said, Washington was going to win, but Pittsburgh would cover. If they win 30-27 on a 2.5-point spread, would have freaking got that one right too.
It's okay, man.
It's one I'm going to miss here, but I got it there. Okay, we got the Ravens right on Thursday night. Did you pick Pittsburgh, didn't you?
Yeah, I had Pittsburgh.
So I got that's an L for me. I had Washington in that one. All right. As for the rest of the games across the league, did I pick Carolina?
Yeah, you did. Oh, hold on.
I picked him on Wednesday with the points.
Yeah, but you chose the Giants to win.
God dang it! The Panthers win an absolutely wild one in Germany. A game in which the referee Sean Hockley did honor his dad, who once Ed Hockley, the muscle guy. He once in a game in Mexico City called a penalty in Spanish. Sean Hockley called a false start in German, so that was fun. Daniel Jones, not so fun. 22 of 37, 190 yards, 2 interceptions. And Anthony, if they do not bench him, I don't do this often. I don't go full sports radio guy often. But if the Giants do not bench Daniel Jones, they are morons. Not just because he has not been good. And look, I'm someone who thought Jones had something left. You know, a couple years ago, he was good. And that year, they went to the playoffs and tore up his knee. Never been the same. It happens. He has injury guarantees in his contract. That dude cannot touch the field for the rest of the year. Not only should he be benched, he should not dress for a game the rest of the year. You cannot risk him getting hurt and having to pay him long term. What? It's time. You're 2-8. Party's over. You just lost to the Panthers, who are now suddenly 3-7. Congrats, Bryce Young, on getting a win. Chuba Hubbard, 28 carries, 153. But the Giants, it's time to play Drew Lock. It's over. Bench Daniel Jones.
Yeah. I don't know how Daniel Jones has done it. He's 3-13 in his last 16 games as a Giants starter. And somehow, some way, he's still the starter. He's blessed, man. He is blessed to not have lost his starting job. Anyone else definitely would have. But shout out to the Panthers, man. I watched that game. I was rooting those guys on. They look like kids out there, man. They're so happy, so jolly to, you know, have won two games in a row for the first time in Lord knows when.
Yeah, it's bad news, Bears. Speaking of bad news, Bears, man. See what we did there?
Yes.
Oh, the Bears are bad news. 19-3, they lose to the New England Patriots. Caleb Williams in this game was 16-30 for a 120. Once you take out the sack yardage, Williams and the Bears had 69 yards passing, Anthony. Not nice. Not nice at all. This offense is an unmitigated disaster. Drake May does enough, throws a really bad pick, but also has a touchdown on 15 completions, 184 yards. Ramondre Stevenson, 74 yards on the ground. All in all, they ran for 144 yards on the Bears. But, like, speaking of coaches, like, again, I'm not someone who's fire coaches guy.
Yeah.
I don't do that unless it's, like, really, really bad. The Bears are at a point where the bottom has fallen out. It is time. Waldron is killing them offensively the way they're doing some of this stuff. And it's hard. I don't know that you can bring someone in the middle of the season that's going to save you, but like you got to do something different that's going to stem the tide and stop and prevent any further damage to Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And it also very much sounds like Flus has lost that locker room. And if the coach has lost the locker room, it's time to go. Party's over. Bears, you're 4-5. You still could make the playoffs, but you're so clearly sinking the wrong direction that unless you have some incredible reason why Flus is the right guy and Waldron's the right guy, I'm probably making some kind of change there.
Yeah, it's definitely ugly, and they need to get their franchise QB off the field if the game is over. Two games in a row, he's out there playing to the last whistle, and it's just like, for what? Like, it's over. It is over. It's 2 minutes left in the game, and he's still out there getting
How'd that work? That's what Flew said last week. Oh, we're trying to get some work in. How'd that go? You scored 3 points. You had 69 passing yards as a team.
Trying to get some work.
Maybe not. You need some work. And if not, if things don't change, you're going to be looking for work.
Yeah.
Bills, 30. Colts, 20. Josh Allen throws a couple of picks, but they find the end zone just fine. Allen, 280 on the day. Your thoughts on Joe Flacco, Anthony?
Joe, man, like, I really have no words for him, to be honest. Like the reads he were making, they were good. It's some high throws, some unfortunate bounces.
Three picks, man. Can't win that way.
Nope.
And it does, like, here's what I would say. Everyone is already like, oh, you just got to go back to Richardson. If Flacco's going to play like this, play the young guy. It's not really about how Joe Flacco plays. Like, unless you're on the verge of losing the locker room, which is why Flacco was in the first place, it's about, is Richardson ready? And if he's still not ready, you just kind of have to eat it. And I would hope if you're Shane Steichen, you have a good communication with your owner and your GM to say, like, look, guys, we're going to have to keep doing this. The fan base is going to be brutal. The media is going to be brutal. If you're smart and you're Steichen, you pull whoever the best reporter on that beat is and you go, look, this is the deal. You can believe me or not. You quote me on this and you're dead. But on background, here's the deal. And you have to know how to play the game here. Because if Richards is not ready, putting him in is stupid, no matter how Flacco's playing. Yep. But if this is the product, it is very easy to just go, well, at this point, just go back to Richardson and let him run around and see what happens. So I don't know what you do. They're in a bad spot. They're in a really bad spot. This is what happens when you mess up a fourth pick in the draft. Or your fourth pick in the draft is at least currently unavailable.
Yeah.
Not ready. Real quick, we'll get this game, and then we'll get the rest of them after the break. Chiefs, Broncos, 16-14. Chiefs win. Broncos do an excellent job, set themselves up for a game-winning field goal in the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs blow it up and block it because the Chiefs made a deal with the devil, and they just get to win all the time.
Yeah, I don't know what they drink. I don't know what they eat, but something they're doing over there in Kansas City seems to be right. They might be like a cat with nine lives, and I think next week when they play the Bills, I think that luck is going to sort of kind of run out. You can't, the fact that they keep winning these games and finding ways to win them is just...
It's crazy.
I don't have the absolute word for it.
Bo Nix threw 8 incompletions, no turnovers. They only scored 14 points. I mean, the KC defense is legit. Mahomes, meanwhile, he throws it 42 times for only 266 yards. So not very efficient. They're completing the ball to nowhere. They only rush the ball for 57 yards, and yet they somehow in the end wind up with 16 points and win.
Enough to get the job done.
Because they block a field goal. Because, of course, they do. All right, when we get back, the rest of the afternoon scoreboard, there were a couple of good ones and probably the craziest game maybe of the season on Sunday Night Football. We'll get to it all next on The Hoffman Show. Our pick six at 6 coming up in just over 15 minutes. We continue now going around the NFL. Every game, a little bit of news, a little bit of notes, some more time spent on some games than others. Where are we at so far with picks, Anthony, on the week? As we'll pick this back up with Falcons and Saints in a moment.
We are 3-3, both of us.
Oh.
And you want to know what's crazy?
What's that?
All of our picks are the same.
Oh, well, that tracks. What about the Washington game?
Well, I'm talking about the remaining ones.
Oh, okay. Doesn't make any sense.
So the only game that we differed on, there were two games. The Commanders game. And then the Colts, Bills game.
Ah, okay. Yeah. That's not the same as picking. Anyway, we're both 3-3. The Falcons and the Saints, we're both 3-4, which means I officially lost more games picking straight up on Friday than I did against the spread on Monday. What a dumb sport. The Saints 20, Falcons 17. Rizzi, the new coach in New Orleans. What a wild man that guy is. Some of the faces that dude is making. Meanwhile, if I told you Cousins was going to throw for 300 yards and Bijan have over 100 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns, you probably would have picked the Falcons. You would have been wrong. Saints explode in the second quarter. They get only 3 points the rest of the game. Somehow they won.
I mean, that's what happens when Younghoe Koo goes out there and misses 3 field goals, Craig. 3. And it wasn't like they were all from 50 and 60 yards. He had a couple of chip shots.
Weird day for kickers, man.
Yeah.
Ed's emblematic in this game. 49ers 23, Buccaneers 20. Shouldn't have been that close because Jake Moody missed 3 for San Francisco and then hit the game winner. In between that, Deebo Samuel went after him a little bit. Long snapper gets in the way. Deebo grabs at the long snapper's throat. Fight on the sideline, like mini kerfuffle on the sideline. Not great. Deebo clearly frustrated. At the end of the day, they win the thing. Purdy, 25 of 36, 353 and 2 touchdowns in Christian McCaffrey's return. McCaffrey, 13 for 39, and then he also had 6 for 68 receiving.
Yeah, that 49ers game, I kept looking over. I'm like, why is the game so close? And then when you talk about Moody, him coming back from injury, because I think that was his first game back. And it's just not being the day for kickers, man. Not being a good day.
Baker, by the way, weird day. 18 for 29 for 116 for a dude that's been on fire. He also had 3 fumbles but recovered 2 of them. So not a good day at the office for Baker Mayfield. What a nightmare of a game this was. Vikings 12, Jags 7. The Vikings, Sam Darnold threw 3 picks. Mac Jones threw 2. I don't want to talk about this game. Did we both get it right?
Yeah, we did. We got the Vikings.
Cool.
Barely.
Good. I don't want to talk about it. Chargers 27. Doesn't deserve our attention. Chargers 27. Titans 17. Will Levis back in the lineup for Tennessee after Mason Rudolph had started a bunch of games. He throws two touchdowns, no picks. Good job out of you coming back and playing decent enough football, but not enough against a Chargers team that just runs the ball and runs the ball and runs the ball. Herbert only threw it 18 times. They ran it 39. Herbert himself had 9 carries, 145 yards, only 3.7 a carry, but they just keep getting after it. 2 touchdowns on the ground. Herbert won through the air. And, I mean, they don't have any receivers, and they put up 27 points.
I know Herbert. Do you think Herbert is happy that this isn't a pass-heavy offense as it was, you know?
I don't think he has the ego to think, like, it's all got to run through me. I think he's thrilled.
Yeah.
I mostly just hand the ball off.
Let the defense play defense. And
Yeah. Playing quarterback for Jim Harbaugh is probably pretty fun in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Eagles 34, Cowboys 6. This was funny. So we were doing the Take Command live stream post game, and we're talking about how it's a short week for Washington, and I turn around over my shoulder because there's a TV behind me at Northwest Stadium. We're in one of the broadcast booths, and I'm like, ooh, hey, this game's 7-6 into the second quarter. Hey, it's a short week for Philly too, and it's even shorter for them because, you know, they're on the road right now at Dallas, and you know it's a close game in the second quarter. So finish up the show, pack up the stuff, walk to the car, about 35-40 minute drive home, walk in the door, and this game was on our TV. Rachel had either pulled up Red Zone or pulled up this game. It is 34-6, and I'm just like, what the utter hell happened between the middle of the second and where we are now? And apparently, Cooper Rush did a whole lot of nothing. 13 of 23, 45 yards. He had 23 attempts for 45 yards passing. Passing.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb, 6 catches, 21 yards on 10 targets. Cooper Rush, 2 fumbles, lost them both. Ezekiel Elliott, fumble, lost it. Jake Ferguson, fumble, lost it. 4 fumbles for Dallas. Meanwhile, A.J. Brown back with a vengeance. 5 catches, 109 yards. Saquon Barkley, 14 carries, 66 yards. Yeah, man. Like, just a thorough ass-kicking. Turnovers galore. Kenny Pickett finished out the game. Trey Lance was in this game. I wonder if Lance is playing quarterback for them in a couple weeks when Washington plays Dallas.
Nah, he was getting sacked, too. Didn't help.
Give him a couple weeks to be the starter in practice.
Yeah.
I mean, if they gave up like a 4th-round pick or something stupid for him.
Yep.
You might as well see if you got anything.
It was bad.
Man.
Belt to butt.
Then again, they might know that he's bad because they have him in practice, so who knows. But yeah, really bad. And now we get to find out how good Philly is for real because they've played really well the last couple weeks. And there is some matchup stuff that I got to dive into the tape more, but there's some matchup stuff that scares me a little bit for Washington specific to Philadelphia. Not that I think overall they're necessarily a significantly better team, but styles make fights. But we're going to find out on Thursday night. Jets-Cardinals. Did I pick the Jets in this one because of the stinky fish theory?
Yeah, we did, Craig.
I was not stupid enough to do that on Monday. I listened to my instincts on Monday. I got this game right on Monday. I'm never picking the Jets again. The Jets could play the Giants. The Jets could play... Who else sucks?
The Panthers.
Panthers.
The Bears.
The Bears. They could play any of them. I, on principle, am not picking the New York Jets again until Aaron Rodgers is gone. I hate them so much. Oh, my God. What a nightmare. They stink, and they deserve to stink. By the way, the opposite of stink, Kyler Murray is on a heater.
Yes, he is.
Right now. He was 22 of 24 in this game. 22 of 24, ladies and gentlemen. He had 2 incompletions. Also had a touchdown. He had two touchdowns on the ground. He gets out there. He looks like Sonic the Hedgehog running around. Aaron Rodgers, 22 of 35, 151 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. They only ran the ball 17 times. I know they were down in this game, but good gracious. What a nightmare the Jets are, and they deserve to be. Good for them. Bad for us because we picked them. Morons.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago after they lost, I said I wasn't going to pick the Jets anymore. And Craig, you talked me into it. And now I'm with you, man. I'm not picking the Jets anymore. I'm out on them. I'm out on them.
J-E-T-S. Boo! You suck! I feel better now. Lions and Texans, Sunday nighter from hell. Jared Goff threw five, not one, not two, not three, not four, five interceptions. Yeah. C.J. Stroud threw two more. David Montgomery fumbled, although he recovered it. C.J. Stroud fumbled, got recovered by his own guy. So total in this game, you had two fumbles, seven interceptions. Someone had to win it. Someone was the Lions as time expired on a field goal. Good for them.
That was an ugly one for sure. Even though the Texans should have won, that was a P.I. on Terry and Arnold at the end of the game. That was a P.I.
If you intercept the other quarterback five times and it's close enough to come down to one call, you deserve to lose.
Yeah, probably.
What are they doing off? Their offense is a nightmare. Joe Mixon had 25 carries for 46 yards.
They're banged up. That offensive line is banged up, Craig. I told you, it might have been a little hyperbole when I said CJ sort of kind of looks like Bryce from last year. We had nothing around him. That's what's happening now. He ain't got too much around him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. How'd we do?
We end up finishing 8-5, both of us, and we have the Rams tonight on Monday Night Football.
All right. So we'll see how that goes.
You still have a 4-game lead over me.
Oof, man. All right. So we'll see how that goes tonight. Good gracious. What a wacky day of NFL football. Game of the day was certainly Washington-Pittsburgh. We picked six players that we thought would be really important to the game. Some interesting things happened with those six players. We did that on Friday. We review it on Monday. Our pick six at six is next.